So what you have here on the sheets are notes for two short Divrei Torah on the Haggadah. As some of you know, my Beit Midrash has a Haggadah night program, one at the Bayit and one at Shari Shemayim, in which four of us speak, each one presenting up to 10 minute Dvar Torah that's meant for people's Seder. So we did one at the Bayit this past Monday night, and we have one coming up this Monday night at 8 o'clock at Shari Shemayim. So I took my Bayit one, that's the first part of this, and I took my Shari Shemayim one. But that's not a reason not to go this Monday night at Shari Shemayim. I knew that no one here had been there Monday night for the Bayit one, so I knew I was safe in that regard. But the Shari Shemayim one, still available. I will be presenting the second thought from this morning, but you will also have the chance to hear Rabbi Jared Instandig, his wife Sarita Instandig, and Rabbi Stephen Gottlieb. So, and you can do a review of mine. So, you know, that's an opportunity. But that's what I wanted to use here, because I really like the ideas that I presented. So the first one, if you see source number one, is on the part of the Haggadah where things change for the Jews in Mitzrayim. Vanitzak el Hashem Elokei Avoseinu, we cried out to Hashem, God of our ancestors. Vayishma Hashem es koleinu, Hashem heard our voices. Vayares onyenu, he saw our suffering, v'yas amaleinu, and he saw our struggle, v'yas lachatzeinu, he saw our oppression. Vanitzak el Hashem Elokei Avoseinu, then we bring the Medrash in the Sifri that explains we cried out to Hashem, as it says, you know, the whole passage. And then, after detailing how we cried out because we were suffering in this way, we were suffering in that way, we were suffering in that way, Vayotzienu Hashem, it says, Hashem heard us, I shouldn't skip that, and Vayotzienu Hashem b'Mitzrayim, Hashem took us out, b'yad chazakah, zrona tu yav, morah gadol, right? Hopefully this is somewhat familiar. So, what I want to talk about is what's not here. Right? What's missing? There's something missing from this part of the story. And it's not because I put in the ellipsis. What's not there? We cried out to Hashem. Hashem heard our voice. He saw our suffering.
He took us.
But after he heard us, what happened? Now the makos we do get. That's all the Zrona Tuyah, Mara Gadol, Osos, and Moksim, right? That's where the Haggadah is going to play out, all the different things that Hashem did. But we're missing a step. What? Sorry? Oh no, that's later. That's much later.
Didn't it become harder for them to work?
Yeah. What about when Moshe goes to Paro and says, Hashem said, send the Jews out, and Paro says, ha! Who are you kidding? And he says, now you're going to have to make bricks without straw. Right? And Moshe goes to the Jews, and the Jews say, we don't want you here. You've made things worse. And Moshe goes back to Hashem, and he says, you know, this ain't helping. Right?
Yeah, but you don't
things
know where
the
Nitzak is. It could be it's like the last of the Nitzak.
But it's not, because it's Vayitzak Hashem, Vayishma Koleinu. And it plays out in the Haggadah. It attaches it to the Pesukim. It's not.
Oh, okay.
It's very strange. I brought you in source number two from Parshas Va'era, the beginning of Parshas Va'era. Right? Moshe gives the Jews this wonderful speech with the five different expressions of Geula, Votzezi, Vitzalti, Vagalti, Velakachti, Vehevesi, and their reaction is, no, thank you. Right? Velo Shamu'el Moshe, they didn't listen to Moshe, Mikotze Ruach Me'avadakasha, because they're short spirits and hard labor. And so, what I want to understand is, why didn't the Haggadah include this part?
And like, give them a little more credit. Right? Like
meaning
like they didn't listen because they were suffering. It kept getting worse every time they tried. Mm-hmm. So like give them a little credit here. Like they might have listened if it would have been simpler.
Mm-hmm. But the Haggadah doesn't even, like the Haggadah's like, yeah, that never happened.
Right.
Just
mm-hmm.
ignore that. What is the Haggadah doing? So I think we need to, first of all, go back to a thought that I think we discussed in a Parsha Shir, maybe even last year, at some point in the last few years. We discussed the reasons why the Jews did not accept what Moshe was telling them. One view we brought was in Rashi and Ramban, and I gave you Ramban in source number three, where he says, Shalohitu ozen ledvarav mikotze ruach ka'adam shetikzer nafsho ba'amalo. They had this short spirit, like somebody whose spirit is short due to his struggle. They are in pain. Of course they're not going to be, open. They're suffering, and the suffering's gotten worse. That's number one. Number two, the previous time Moshe came to them, he didn't just come to them with words. I brought it for you in source number four. He performed osos. He performed signs. Right? You're more apt to listen to the guy who can turn the stick into a snake and back, right? Water into blood. His hand changes colors. Like, okay, he can do things I can't. Now I'm going to listen to him. Whereas the second time Moshe comes to them, it's just a speech. So not as inspiring. That's number two. Number three, because the pitch here, if you look at number two, is not only I'm going to take you out of Egypt, I'm going to bring you to the land, right? To the land that I promised to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov I was going to give it. You're going to be my nation, I will be your God. That comes with obligations. So the Mechilta, in source number five, says that's the problem. As you see in the end of source number five, Sharkasha Beinayim Lifrosh Me Avodah Zara. It was hard for them to separate from idolatry. They didn't want to separate from Avodah Zara. Last idea is in source number six, in the Machzor Vitri. The Machzor Vitri is written by the Talmidim of Rashi. In the Giants of series, we get to Rashi, we'll have to talk about Machzor Vitri. So it records ideas of his. And in this case, it's talking about the Shiva Dinachemta. What are the Shiva Dinachemta? Anybody know? Achrei Tisha B'Av. Yep. Until this year, after Tisha B'Av, we had 7 weeks of Haftarot of consolation leading up to Rosh Hashanah. Leading up to Tisha B'Av, we have 3 Shabbatot, Ben HaMetzarim, Gimel de Paranuta, the 3 Haftarot of punishment. 3 Haftarot of predictions of terrible things that are going to befall the Jews. So you have 3 weeks of disaster, and then you have 7 weeks of consolation. Why do I need 7 weeks of consolation? Why can't I do 3 weeks of consolation? Says the Machzor Vitri, quoting Rashi, because it's too much too soon. You can't tell people who are devastated, in their lives in ruins, don't worry about it, everything's going to be fine, it's going to be great, you're going to enjoy it. You can't do that. Similarly, he says himself, he says that's why they don't listen to Moshe. It's in source number 6. He says that's why they don't listen to Moshe, because Moshe's promising them the world to people who still have, whip marks on their backs. Like, that's not realistic to just tell them, no, don't worry, everything's going to be wonderful.
That's what the miracles were for, right?
Well, for the Jews to see this, yeah. And then, have this kind of transition period.
You can just take them out.
Right. So that's why they didn't accept. And I think it explains why we don't mention it here. Because those things were all predictable. Those are short-term problems. The fact that you just suffered and therefore you're not ready to accept that Hashem is going to take you out is a solvable problem. Over time, they'll get over that. The fact that, yes, things got worse before they got better, they'll get over that. And you'll reach a stage in the relationship between Hashem and the Jews where that's like, I didn't even remember that happened. And that's where you want to go. You want to be able to consign that to the insignificant stage in the longer term relationship. I like to compare this to like dating, right? So there was something happened, some annoying thing happened after like the second date, right? But, hopefully enough time goes by and you don't even remember what it was. That was, that was a bump in the road in the beginning. That's all it was. That's number one. Number two, because the Seder is a tikkun for these issues. Meaning, we questioned a lot in Egypt. But the questions there were questions challenging God. The questioning that we do at the Seder is a set of questions that are meant to build up emunah, to build up belief. So we are correcting for what happened in Mitzrayim and the fact that the Jews didn't accept. But most, building along those same lines, but just taking one step further, is that the Seder is fundamentally a love song to Hashem. That's what it is. I brought you a piece from in source number 7 from the Boston Rebbe, Rebbe Levi Yitzhak Horowitz, who talks about how we have Zecher LeChorban and we also have Zecher LeMikdash. Right? No one here was here in Clanton Park on Shabbos when I spoke about that. I don't know if you were at the... You were. Okay, so you're familiar. The Bostoner has this beautiful article, which is available online, where he talks about how, yes, there's Zechel HaChorban, we remember the destruction, but there's a much stronger emphasis in Judaism on Zechel HaMikdash, remembering when things were good and the things that we enjoy. And that's the way he sees what we're doing at our Seder. Yes, you have the Maror, but you spend a lot more time on the Cherus and the freedom and the joy of it. Right? And at the end of the Seder, people sing Shir HaShirim, right? This is supposed to be a love song to God. There are times to express our doubts and our questions. There are times to challenge what we've been taught. There are times to explore theology. You know, I know I'm talking to somebody who likes questions. It's all true. And it's true in relationships. There are times for people to sit down and talk about the things that are difficult. But, under the chuppah, you're not supposed to be ruminating about your doubts about the relationship. Right? You go out for your anniversary dinner, you're not supposed to say, hey, you know what you did a couple of months ago, that was really irritating. don't try that. That's not what the Seder night is for. The Seder night is this great reunion and celebration. It's not the time for you to bring up the problems. The problems will wait. You can talk about them later. But that's not what's supposed to be happening at your Seder. So, the question we asked, why does it omit the frustrated communications? And the answer is, number one, those were short-term things that would, in the end, disappear in terms of their issues. The fact that we suffered more in Egypt, you'll forget about that eventually. More, the Seder is meant to correct for those problems. And finally, the fact that the Seder is really meant to be this great love poem to Hashem. It's this great reunion with Hashem. It's Zecher LeMikdash. It's not a time for you to bring in the problems. Mm-hmm. I went over my 10 minutes because I wanted to discuss it more here, but at that night, it was done by 10. Okay.